Well, hello there, and welcome back to the Nerd Podcast. This is Never Ending Retro Dialogue. I'm Jordan.
I'm Doug.
And today we are going to talk about the most spectacular set of abs in the whole universe.
Yes, the strongest man in the universe, most powerful man in the universe.
Yes. And we're not talking about Doug.
No.
Who's the second most powerful
man in the universe.
So, but before we get to talking about He-Man, I'd just like to say, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm all right. I see you got your smartwatch.
I did get my smartwatch. I have joined the 21st century.
The 22nd century, almost.
Almost.
I mean, that's how far ahead you are.
I am. I'm streets ahead.
Streets ahead, that's right.
Because it's never good to be streets behind.
Never.
For the real nerds, tell us where that's from. My family's excluded. You can't say. Yeah, you know, it's not a super fancy one because I cannot do text type or answer calls on this. There's no speaker, but it does all the health tracking stuff that I need and shows me who's messaging me or trying to call me, and I can decide if I want to talk to him or not. But yeah, you know, after all the heart stuff last year, we thought maybe it was best to have something to keep an eye on my my rates. Because, you know,
you can never be too careful.
Health and all that stuff. But yeah, so He-Man.
And the Masters of the Universe.
So, anyone who's listened to this long enough or knows me in real life knows that Transformers is my real passion when it comes to 80s cartoons. But He-Man actually came out before Transformers.
True.
So they were the first love. You know, they were these cool figures, big muscly guys, and you know, you could flip their waists and they'd, you know, look like they're punching and all kinds of weird stuff. But, so yeah, so it was easy to grab those. Now, I do want to bring up, since we're talking about He-Man and their kind of infamous beginning. Anyone who listened to our earlier podcast, we referenced a show on Netflix a lot called The Toys That Made Us. And if you haven't watched it, highly recommend it. And they do one on He-Man. And because He-Man's kind of the first toy line that was allowed to have a 30-minute commercial. They kind of loosened the strings on, and restraints, I guess, on advertising to kids. So you have the toy line. The toy line actually came out first. It came out in 82. And then they got together with Filmation and started doing the cartoon, which, you know, is basically, like I said, a 30-minute commercial. You get to see all these different characters. They still couldn't do it. I read a really interesting article about how this all developed, because they didn't really talk about this in The Toys That Made Us. But if you notice, if you go back and watch, there's really still not a whole lot of violence, right? Even though it's good versus bad. You know, He-Man, for the most part, he punches a few guys, but he never uses his sword on anyone. He uses it to deflect things or to cut boulders. But for the most part, he's picking people up and throwing them, which is much more comical than actually threatening, right? Yeah. So they still had to kind of go by those guidelines. But the... if you remember, for anyone who's watched any of the old He-Man, they had the lesson, right? At the end of every episode, the moral. They put that in to kind of soften the whole fact that this was a commercial to get kids to buy toys or harass their parents to buy toys. So it's a really kind of nefarious beginning. But then if you look, every other cartoon from that period basically follows that same template, right? Transformers is just a commercial. G.I. Joe. Mask. You know, all of them. She-Ra, which came later, and Strawberry Shortcake and Rainbow Bright and the Care Bears. Oh my gosh, the Care Bears.
So He-Man was the face that launched 1,000 ships, is what you're saying?
Yes, basically.
So wow.
Trendsetter.
Trendsetter, yeah.
For grifting our wallets.
But did it work?
It did. Okay. It did.
I know.
As you can look in my cabinet.
I know, I was just looking at your
cabinet, and then over there on top of the shelf, I'll have to take a picture of that, and we'll use that for the promo for this episode. But yeah, now I actually did some research.
Okay.
Because I was feeling froggy.
You were feeling froggy.
You may have already peeked at my...
I try not to because I wanted to be in surprise.
There were two names that really shocked me that were writers. They got their start writing on He-Man and Masters of the Universe.
The cartoon or the micro comics?
Well, you know what? It didn't specify.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it could be either.
Could be either.
We'll talk about the mini comics here in a minute, though.
Okay.
But are you ready for these two names?
I hope so.
J. Michael Straczynski.
Okay, wow, did not know that.
And Paul Dini.
Wow, really didn't know that.
Yeah. So anyone who doesn't know, J. Michael Straczynski, probably best known for Spider-Man?
I don't know what he's best known for. He's prolific.
He's done a ton of stuff. I mean, he did a great run on Spider-Man. He's done a lot of like oddball stuff. Like he did a Twilight Zone. He did, what was the one, Midnight Men, which was a great miniseries.
I think he also created Babylon 5, didn't he?
He created Babylon 5, yes. I was getting to that.
Jeez, so, I mean, what a resume.
Was on,
okay,
worked on He-Man. And then Paul Dini was instrumental in the Batman the Animated Series and helped create Harley Quinn and still writes for DC and... So, yeah. So, I thought that was pretty wild.
That's amazing. I did not know that.
But, yeah, the mini comics. You brought up the mini comics. So, that was all part of, you know, the marketing, too. You got a figure, and you got a mini comic that came with the figure, which was separate. You know, they didn't really... I don't think those stories matched any of the episodes.
Oh, probably not.
But what's really cool is Wyatt, 2-3 years ago, got me... and I think Dark Horse collected it. If I look at this book, it's right here. It was collected by Dark Horse.
Yeah.
And it's the complete collection of all the mini comics for He-Man and Masters of the Universe. And
that's a thick book.
It is. Yeah. But it is wild. I mean, look how Snake Mountain looked in the mini comics. That is just hilarious.
Was it mini?
And Mech-a-Mech
right there.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So yeah, it's pretty wild. It is a great book that I have haven't even come close to scratching the surface on. But yeah. So the you got the mini comics, you got the figures, and then they come out with this cartoon.
Yeah.
65 episodes each season.
Jeez.
But then you spawn She-Ra, Princess of Power. And then they had, I didn't realize this, they had a movie.
Masters of the Universe?
An animated one.
Oh, okay. I was like, what?
We'll talk about
the movie.
We'll
talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about the movie. But yeah, so I mean, then you had She-Ra and it's just, they just boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, there's a lot of... And wasn't there like the New Adventures of He-Man or something?
Oh my gosh.
Where he had like a ponytail.
There's, yes. Where he was more like a space cowboy kind of guy. Yeah, there's been so many iterations now. And then Kevin Smith has done the newer He-Man Masters of the Universe. What was it? Revelation.
Revelation, yeah.
And there's been two more after that that have come out on Netflix.
Yeah.
With Mark Hamill being Skeletor, which is phenomenal.
Yeah, and I really got into the early 2000s He-Man.
Mm-hmm.
That was like my intro to He-Man.
Well, and that's the one that had the really cool origin story for Skeletor, right?
Yeah, I don't remember it very much, but I know that he had more of an origin story than he did in the original.
Yeah.
He was just like, meh,
meh, He-Man. People should save audio files of their best Skeletor impersonations and post it on Facebook, of course.
Yeah, let's hear your best He-Man.
Yeah, He-Man and Skeletor. Or maybe you do a good Beast Man.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows?
I want to hear everybody's best Orko.
Orko. Oh, my God. Annoying. Who's more annoying, Orko or Snarf?
That's, you know what, that should be our question of the month.
Oh, my gosh, there we go.
That's, who's more annoying?
There's going to be Maze. That's Maze question of the month.
Orko or Snarf?
Who's the most annoying sidekick?
I'm surprised, given the weird dynamic of the 80s, there wasn't like an Orko Snarf half-hour TV show, you know right? what I mean? Because like eventually like Slimer took over the real Ghostbusters. I'm surprised Orko didn't take over He-Man and Snarf didn't take over Thundercats.
There we go, yeah. Oh my gosh.
I bet they did in the darkest timeline.
Oh, they probably did.
There's another one.
There's another one, yeah, for all those keeping count.
Yeah.
So many people are going, what the heck are they talking about? Ooh, the Great Gazoo. They could throw him in there. Batmite. Oh my gosh.
Let's just have an episode about annoying side characters sometime.
You know what? Done.
Okay.
I think we could do it.
Batmite.
Batmite. Who's that stupid monkey from Space Ghost and the Wonder Twins or whatever?
Beepo or Zippo or
Zippo. Oh, you know what? This is an episode. Yeah. I think we can do this. All right. Man, look at us go. Man, talking about He-Man, up with new ideas.
Yeah.
Now, I do want to, there's actually some debate as to what He-Man's first introduction into comics is.
Oh?
Because DC Comics Presents number 47, most people recognize that as his first appearance, right? And for anyone, that is such a great cover, if no one's seen it, because Superman's fighting He-Man, but Skeletor's controlling He-Man, I think. And Superman's afraid He-Man's going to kill him.
Oh.
And so, oh my gosh. But you have people who go, no, he appeared in comics before that, and they're talking about the mini comics. Well, those weren't published by anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Dark Horse has now collected them, but it's like, it's not the same thing. But, He-Man, for anyone who didn't know, appeared in some DC comics. And then I think has he appeared in Marvel comics too?
Oh, I don't know. I think Marvel has had a shot at licensing everything at this point.
Yeah. I did just read a, oh my gosh, what was the crossover? It was Thundercats versus Masters of the Universe, I
did not know that existed.
I want to say that's correct. I read it on Hoopla, and it was actually a pretty good read. I enjoyed it, but then they've done some other crossovers with the Masters of the Universe here recently. It's getting some traction again. Of course, there's always talk that there's going to be a new live-action movie.
Of course.
And we still don't get it.
Yeah, that's been about... As long as I can remember being on the internet, I've heard rumors of that.
Yeah. And I wish they would, because... That movie from the 80s is a turd.
It's not very good, is it?
No. And you know I love a good bad movie.
Yeah.
I don't know that can qualify.
No, I think that's just a bad movie.
It's just a bad movie. So anyone who doesn't know, just YouTube it. But no, that's, you have Dolph Lundgren, which I don't know what anyone would know him from these days.
Rocky IV, The Expendables.
The Expendables for the newer stuff, right? Rocky IV, Universal Soldier, Punisher. He was the original Punisher, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. He was the He-Man, and then he was Frank Castle. Man.
What a resume.
What a guy. And he's got some PhDs on his name, too.
Yeah.
He's a smart dude. Anywho, wasn't smart when it came to picking movies.
Although, I would tell you that he's not the problem in the movie.
He is not the problem.
He looks like He-Man.
He does look, yes. Yes, he does look like He-Man. So, boy, how do you even explain the plot?
It's been so long since I've seen it.
They go from Eternia and somehow end up traveling in a wormhole, we'll say, and end up on Earth. And the principal from Back to the Future is a cop, I believe. And then there's a weird, like, dwarf that goes around.
Yeah, that's
right.
I forgot.
None of the characters.
No, like, the biggest thing to me is, like, the red flag, if I was reading that script, I'd be like, okay, we have Eternia, which is this cool fantasy world. It's the center of the He-Man universe. Oh, but we're going to Earth?
Yeah, we're going to Earth.
What?
Yeah. And then Frank Langella, wonderful actor, is Skeletor. And that's interesting. It's just, yeah. I think they tried to make it a serious movie, you know?
Yeah.
Instead of just, I mean, He-Man was just goofy. You had all these weird characters. Just go with it. Now, in today's world, with CGI and everything, you could do a lot with these characters,
yeah,
like Mechaneck and Buzz Off and...
Yeah.
And,
Many Faces would be cool.
Oh, Many Faces would be cool.
Yeah.
I think we saw with the Garbage Pail Kids why you can't do weird characters in the 80s.
Yeah. I blocked that movie out, too.
Oh, that one is a bad, bad movie, too. Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, the marketing, I forgot, I didn't even mention the vinyl records that you could get.
Oh.
They had story records. So it was a little 45, and you had a book, and you could play the 45 in it, and you could read along with the book, and it told a story. And so there's all kinds of different stories that went along with it. So when I was a kid, I actually had a mini record player. It was almost like a kiddie one, I guess. But it would play 45s. And so I had a lot of these story time records for He-Man. And I think I had some like Looney Tunes ones maybe, or maybe Batman.
Ooh.
I'm not sure. But I had He-Man. I had a bunch of He-Man ones. And the reason I remember this is I was doing research for our next episode.
Yeah.
Which is music media. Hey. There's a peek behind the scenes. And I realized that what I thought was the first form of media that I owned was not, because I had all of these little mini records.
Oh, yeah.
So, but yeah, so you could sit there and listen to these records, and it was pretty cool.
I did not know about that.
Yeah. It'd be neat to see if I have looked on eBay, and you can find a bunch there, but... I don't think I've ever seen one out in the wild, like at a store that we've ever been to. Like, I've never seen one at a Half Price. I've never seen one at any of the, like, you know, toy stores or flea market stores that we've gone to. So it's something we might have to look for.
Yeah, I would definitely remember seeing something like that.
Yeah. So pretty wild stuff. But, yeah. What, you got any 2 cents with He-Man?
I'm trying to look at the Space Pirate He-Man.
Yeah.
Because I want to look at his ponytail.
The ponytail is illustrious. I'm pretty sure there's some space cowboy He-Man in here. Because, I mean, yeah, there's so many books. Oh. Nope, that's not Space Cowboy. I don't know.
There it is.
Yep. I think that's him. Yeah, look at Skeletor. He has like a space helmet on too. I don't know what the heck those guys are. Oh my gosh. I never watched that one. And I haven't gotten to these comics yet. Yeah, look at that Skeletor. He's got a green head.
It's like Skeletor's journey.
And now the future will feel the power of my evil. He must heal his injuries. Skeletor's journey, yeah. Oh, there we go. He-Man, the new adventure. Yeah, look at him. He's skinnier.
Yeah, he's not quite as buff.
Yeah, he's got...
He's got pants on.
He's got pants. I guess they didn't like the fur loin cloth.
That's classic, though.
Yeah, you gotta go with that. So, I don't know. I never got into that one. I did watch some of the newer one that you were talking about, and I did enjoy that.
I was going to say, that was a good one, because that was, like, kind of a... I don't know if it was darker, but, like, I know it was still for kids and everything, but it was more serious, I feel like, because it wasn't just a cartoon for
just a commercial to sell toys. Yeah. They had gone beyond that. I agree with you. It's not so much that it was darker, just it was just a little bit more serious. It wasn't so goofy.
Yeah.
You didn't have the morals at the end, and but the Skeletor, I love that episode, and I've watched that clip on YouTube a few times where, you know, he's a regular dude, and then Randor hits him with something, or he curses him. I forget exactly, because it's been a minute since I watched it, but then he turns into that, just that walking skull. It's amazing. I think, didn't someone retcon that, and it wasn't in the original series, but somewhere along the way that Skeletor was basically made by Hordak?
Ooh, I think you're right. There's a lot of He-Man lore.
There is a lot of He-Man lore.
So we haven't talked about some of the key aspects of He-Man.
Oh, hit it.
The Power Sword. That's what it's called, right?
Yeah.
Is that He-Man?
Mm-hmm.
What's this? Oh, it's the Sword of Omens. It's Thundercats.
Yes. And then the Sun Sword
And then the Sun Sword is Thundar.
A lot of swords.
So you got the Power Sword, which is probably the most recognizable fantasy cartoon sword.
Yeah.
That's the one that he lifts and says, "I have the power," and then he becomes He-Man. And that's a pretty cool-looking sword.
It is a cool-looking sword. I've had an opportunity to buy some mini props of those before, and I've not done it.
Too expensive?
For a mini sword, yes.
What if it was a full-size sword?
If it was a full-size sword and I could get it for the price the mini ones were, yeah, I'd buy it. Come on, I have a Snake Eyes sword down in the basement.
Yeah, that's true.
That I'm trying to sell, air quotes. But with every toy show that passes, it doesn't sell. It's closer and closer to just staying mine. But yeah, the Power Sword. That intro was always kind of goofy too, right? Didn't you think?
Well, yeah.
Do you remember his whole speech?
Wasn't he like, "I'm Prince Adam"?
I'm Adam, Prince of Eternia, defender of the secrets of Castle Grayskull. This is Cringer, my fearless friend. Fabulous secret powers were revealed to me the day I held aloft my magic sword and said, "By the power of Grayskull, I have the power." Cringer became the mighty Battle Cat, and I became He-Man, the most powerful man in the universe. Only three others share this secret. Our friends, the Sorceress, Man-at-Arms, and Orko. Together, we defend Castle Grayskull from the evil forces of Skeletor. If you own a magic sword, why are you surprised that secrets were revealed to you?
And also, why are you doing that monologue when you're trying to keep that a secret?
Exactly. Now we all know. Shame on them.
Key element of He-Man that I'd like to talk about,
mm-hmm.
besides the Power Sword,
yes.
is his haircut.
Oh, it's, yes.
His page boy haircut kind of thing. That is essential. But Prince Adam had different hair, right?
No.
No, not really.
No. It was a lighter color. So Prince Adam was a lighter yellow, and then He-Man just got a little bit more body to it, a little bit, it was more golden.
Yeah, Prince right? Adam. Yep. Yeah, Prince Adam dresses interestingly.
Do you think that's a conscious choice? So anyone who doesn't know He-Man and watch the original, Prince Adam in the original, I'm going to describe his outfit. So he's got like a white long sleeve shirt with a pink opened vest with a black belt. And then he has these lavender tights with a darker purple
Speedo
furry loincloth.
Yeah.
Do you think they do... that's got to be on purpose, right? To show... because Adam's a more quiet, he's more clumsy, he's more feeble... I've always wondered if they do that on purpose so that he's almost the exact opposite of this super, I don't like using the term alpha male, yeah, but you know, for the purposes of this, because you know, He-Man's got that, you know, I don't even know what you call that chest guard,
yeah,
that has that symbol in the middle. Is. He's got his power sword. He's got his gold bracelets on his wrists, and then he's got his brown furry loincloth, and he's got his brown boots. I mean, he is about... Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
so...
It's night and day.
Well, what's interesting, though, is Prince Adam is still jacked.
He is!
And He-Man is jacked, but Prince Adam... I thought he was smaller than He-Man, but I was thinking...
It's not like he grew. Yeah, he didn't grow.
He's almost like he went Super Saiyan. His hair changed color.
Yeah, right? Dragon Ball Z, man.
Yeah.
Boom.
So, interesting choice there on their part.
And, you know, another thing that changed very early on is Man-at-Arms. Mm-hmm. In the comics, or in the toy line, when he first came out, didn't have a mustache.
Ooh.
And then... I'm not sure how quickly it became that he got one, but then he ended up having one. And then, so there's Man-at-Arm figures out there without a mustache, and then there's some with a mustache.
Wow.
Yeah.
He needs a mustache. That's part of his character.
I think he does. Everyone's better with a mustache. That's all I'm saying.
Says the man. You're the spokesperson for the mustache.
Yeah, that's it. Yep. But I do want to talk about, because I think you got to meet him too, right?
Yes, Tom Cook.
So, the very first, and I may have talked about this before on the podcast, but if you haven't listened to that one, whichever one it was, first of all, you should go back and listen to all of them. They're great. But if you don't have the time, I'll tell it again. The very first Wizard World show, which is... they don't happen anymore. What are they called now? Fan Expos?
Fan Expos or Galaxy Con? Which
Galaxy
one?
Galaxy Con? Ooh.
I don't know.
They're one of those. But it's a Comic Con. And so we went, and I think it was that our first one? Or maybe that was the second one, now that I'm thinking about it. Anyways. But Tom Cook was there. So anyone who doesn't know, Tom Cook is an animator, and he worked with Filmation. He did work on He-Man. He did work on the Smurfs. He did Super Friends.
He's done it all.
He did King of the Hill.
King of the Hill.
He's done, I know I'm forgetting a ton of stuff, but he was on one of the tables in the middle of the con where you didn't have to pay to talk to him or see him or whatnot. And he was just sitting there doing commission work for some people, and then he had prints to sell. And I actually, one, it's behind us now, I bought, he did a Masters of the Universe where he did a Castle Grayskull and a Snake Mountain, and he drew all these heroes and villains, and then signed it for me and Sharon. He was great to talk to.
He's a very nice guy.
He's super nice guy, which he's the type of people I love finding at cons, because he sat there and talked to me for like... half an hour,
yeah,
about what it was like doing animation and what they did to, you know, make this work, and God, he hated doing Smurfs, especially when there's more than a few in a panel or in a scene. But it was really cool hearing how they did everything. It was just a super, super nice guy. I don't know if he still does the cons or not, to be honest with you, but
I don't know.
But yeah, he's done all kinds of stuff. And then there was another artist, I forget his name. I'll take pictures of the prints so we can post those too. But he did his take on villains of Masters of the Universe. So
that's right. I've
got
that.
The Beast Man, Skeletor,
Trapjaw.
Trapjaw and Mantis, right?
That's right, yeah, I remember that.
And
because that was a very tough decision for you, and I think he threw a deal, though, didn't he?
He did throw a deal. because he's the same one that did the Thing poster.
Yeah.
And it's just, oh my gosh, his art's amazing. And so it's just cool to see. I mean, we're talking 32 years later. No, 42 years later. And, I mean, he's still getting treatments. And doing stuff. I don't know, it's pretty wild.
Yeah, He-Man is one of those characters that just captured. So it's kind of funny because, like, we talk about Thundar all the time, and we love Thundar, but Thundar came before He-Man, but it didn't land.
Yeah.
Like He-Man. Why do you think that is? Too weird?
I think
not enough morals.
Well,
not enough abs.
Not enough abs. There was, you know, they were trying to do a story, right?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And
there was no toy line.
There was no toy line. I think the biggest issue, and, you know, we'd have to ask Mr. Nino to see what his thoughts are on this. And so maybe after he hears this, he can type something up and post it on the Nerd Podcast Facebook page. But here's my thoughts. He-Man, like we said earlier, is on Eternia. It's completely separate.
True.
They've got their own world, their own struggles. Thundar, there's an apocalypse that's happened, right? And there, it's what was it?
1994.
So I wonder if that was just too weird for kids to understand that, they're in America, but it looks like that, and then you've got, you know, all these weird creatures.
Yeah, so like maybe too high concept.
Probably, yeah.
Whereas like fantasy is completely divorced from reality.
Correct.
But yeah, like you would have to know like some things as a kid that you might not know, like New York City, for example, is in Thundar the Barbarian, I think. Because I think they see the Statue of Liberty or something.
I believe so, yeah.
So you might have to know stuff that you wouldn't be able to understand as a kid. But it's interesting because they're both sci-fi, sword and sorcery sci-fi, though.
Yeah.
So
I think, plus two, Thundar, I think He-Man was just a little bit more aloof as a whole. The vibe of the episodes, wouldn't you say? Thundar, there felt like there were, I mean, it wasn't a violent cartoon, it was the 80s. But, you know what I mean? I think they had different feels. And plus two, He-Man had the toy line first. Right. So I think having all those toys out there first with the mini comics, and then, oh, hey, now here's going to be this cartoon of all your favorite characters. I think that had a lot to do with it too, because if you look at some of those early 80s cartoons like Thundar, Brave Star didn't last that Brave long. Star. I think it's just, They didn't do a good job of capturing what they needed for kids to get it, right? But I think Thundar, I would love to see, like, a Thundar made today.
Oh, yeah.
And not make it specifically for kids. Like, this is post-apocalyptic. This is serious business. I think you could have a really good show with that.
Yeah. It wouldn't even have to be necessarily adult.
No.
But just make it like, remember the Ninja Turtles from the 2000s?
Yes.
That was serious.
Yes.
Make it like that.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think you're right.
Yeah.
That's all it needs to have. But yeah, so, because they're both blonde.
That's mostly right.
Dudes with swords.
Yeah. I gotta say, the Sun Sword, I like the Sun Sword a little better just because it's a little bit more unique to me. But the Power Sword is definitely the most famous sword.
I would agree with you. And that's because He-Man keeps getting treatment after treatment after treatment.
That's true.
You know, Thundar has it.
Yeah.
And then Thundercats, I mean, they haven't done as many iterations of Thundercats as they have He-Man. So, I mean, I remember watching, who was it on YouTube? the death battles, I think, is what it is. And they did He-Man versus Lion-O, I think, because it was the Power Sword versus the
Sword of Omens.
Sword of Omens. And, that's funny. My watch just told me to take a break and move. I've been sitting too long. I was on my feet for 8 hours. Let me sit. He-Man beat him, by the way.
Yeah, I imagine. So, yeah. Although the Sword of Omens grows.
Yes.
So.
Lets you see into things. Yeah. Right? You can kind of like a super telescope.
Yeah. Yeah. What is your favorite fantasy sword out there?
Ooh. Favorite fantasy sword. Man. I mean, you know, my knee-jerk reaction would be the Power Sword.
Yeah.
Although, you know, it's hard to beat a good Highlander sword.
Yeah.
Do those count as fantasy?
Yeah.
Well, does a lightsaber count
lightsaber
as fantasy?
Lightsaber counts, snake eyes.
Oh, well then a lightsaber. I mean, come on.
I don't know. I'd have to think about that one for a little bit.
I mean, if I ever found a life-size power sword, I'd get it. For sure. But I do like my lightsabers. But yeah. So, here's my question. Do you have a favorite He-Man character?
Oh, gosh. I remember really liking Man-at-Arms when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Probably because he had a sweet mustache, like you said.
Yeah.
But I also liked Ram-Man a lot, because he was just big. And as a kid, I was like, yeah. Ram-Man. And then I have a special place for Buzz Off in my heart, because I had the toy of Buzz Off.
I know. I actually had Buzz Off written off, too.
What about you? You probably have... This is probably harder for you.
It is. I wrote a few names. So, Clawful.
He's the lobster, right?
He's the lobster. As a figure, I just absolutely loved him. Because you could make his claw grab things.
Yeah.
I just thought he looked goofy and fun. I loved him. Too bad. I liked him, too. He was the one with the two heads.
Yeah.
And his arms, you could make them smash each other. Many Faces.
Yeah, I love Many Faces.
Many Faces is just great. Moss Man. I think that just goes with the whole Swamp Monster thing. I did have Buzz Off written off because I had his figure, too. And it's just hilarious that he's a bee. Mechanek. I liked Mechanek just because you could twist him and his neck grew. And I mean, I don't know. To me, that seemed fun.
Yeah.
Stinkor. You gotta love a skunk.
Didn't that toy smell, too?
Yes, it did. Yeah.
Amazing.
Let's see. There was the... was it Webster? Webstar? Oh, man. Now I'm forgetting. But he had a grappling hook in his backpack, and he could hang because he was a spider, right?
Yeah.
So he was fun. Obviously, I'm not including Skeletor or He-Man, because those figures were just awesome.
Yeah.
With all the different ones, you know, you had the battle armor, and heck, Wyatt 1 year got me the newer version of Skeletor and He-Man. They're sitting there on the windowsill next to Hawk and Hawkbuster.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just absolutely love them. But one of my favorites actually never appeared in the cartoon.
Okay.
Because his figure came out not long, or just before the second season ended. And then they didn't do any more. And that, his name is Rio Blast. And he's the cowboy. Now, what's funny is, as I was deciding to look through all the different character names, Rio Blast is generally considered one of the worst figures,
oh, really?
Worst characters ever created.
Oh, no.
And so, but obviously I love him because he's a cowboy.
Yeah.
He's got six shooters that come out of his hands, and then he's got the thing that goes over his head and he can blast. He's just really cool. And he's in the front of my case. That's how much I love him. You got him right next to Skeletor, and there's Clawful there. Ooh, there's Whiplash. He was fun, too. He's the alligator dude. But Ram Man's there in front, and there's He-Man. But yeah, so Rio Blast, Weldy got me that one.
Oh, cool.
Who we'll be talking to here for the next episode. But yeah, so he never appeared, but they kind of retooled him, and a character appeared in She-Ra, Princess of Power, that was loosely based on him, and his name was Colonel something.
Sanders.
Yes. There we go, Wings of Desire. But yeah, so it's interesting, you know, like with Transformers, they just kept popping out these figures, and they had to have excuses. Now, thankfully, they didn't do a movie where, you know, they kill off He-Man or something. So that, you know what? We haven't talked about Faker.
Yeah, Faker.
Oh, my gosh. What a...
Or Wondar.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Oh, man. There's just so many characters. I was looking through so many different lists because none of them had a complete list.
Yeah.
They were all, like, a few because then you had... oh, my gosh. I can't think. Because you've got the Hordak horde.
Yeah.
And then you got all the She-Ra people. But, yeah. And then it's just wild. Oh, Leech. He was another fun too. Because you could actually put water in him. Right? And then you'd squirt the window. And then, you'd put him on with the suction cup so he'd sit there.
Well, so I wanna quiz you a little bit.
Oh,
not quiz you, but I wanna get your opinion.
Okay.
So I found a blog that I think we're both gonna like called Wheeljack's Lab.
Okay.
And here they have the top 10 characters for He-Man and the Master of the Universe.
Okay.
So I'm gonna put you on the spot, and I'm gonna ask you what you think about this list.
Oh, okay.
We're gonna go character by character.
Yep.
First character, number 10, Merman.
Number 10, Merman. Okay. I mean, I guess we'll see who else they have. There's other people I like better than Merman. Although I always did like Merman better than Beastman.
Really?
Yeah.
I think this list might disappoint you then.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, though. I haven't looked at it. Evil-Lyn is number 9.
Is number 9.
I thought she'd be higher on the list.
I thought she would be higher on the list. Evil-Lyn is a nice character. She's kind of that good foil for Skeletor, right? And they really, for some of the newer comic lines and the Revelation, they've given her a nice kind of backstory. So, yeah, I'd say she deserves to be in the top 10.
Number 8, your favorite, Beastman.
Beastman. I don't dislike Beastman. I don't know.
Is he overhyped?
I think he is overhyped, yeah.
Number 7 is... Manny Faces.
Oh, he needs to be higher than 7, but okay. Manny Faces, so anyone who doesn't know, Manny Faces, he has 3 faces.
Yeah.
And so you have the regular man face, you have a lizard face, and you have a robot face. And the mini comic where he is introduced, everyone thinks he's a bad guy.
Yeah, because he's got that
got the evil-looking face. And it turns out that no, he is not. And then he is offered to come perform at the castle, and he becomes an actor, and he can, you know, do all the different parts. But yeah, that's Manny Faces. He is such a great character. Now the one problem with his figure is that he's so top heavy with that head that it's hard to make him stand.
Yeah. Number 6 is Orko.
No.
Doesn't deserve to be on the top 10?
Orko does not deserve to be in the top 10. Orko was so annoying. I do not care for him. That's just me.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel that way. Number 5 is Cringer / Battle Cat.
Okay, I can go with that. He's pretty cool.
Cringer, it's funny because Cringer nowadays, it makes me think he's cringy.
Right.
But
now, isn't it interesting that, you know, and I get it, he's the hero's cat, but Panthor never gets any kind of, like, airtime.
Yeah, you're right. Although Panthor, isn't the Panthor figure, like, fuzzy?
Yes.
And the Battle Cat's not.
Correct.
Why is that?
I don't know.
I'll have to ask somebody about that. We'll ask Weldy. Number four is Tila.
Tila. Number four is Tila. She deserves to be in the top 10. She's a cool character. I like what they did with her with Revelation. I mean, have you watched that?
I have not.
So I know a lot of people complained because she actually ended up being like the main focus for the first half. But I thought it was a good story. Now I will say in Revelation, I'm going to get sidetracked here for a minute. In that, Adam is smaller, and when he calls on the power of grace, he becomes bigger. It does make sense. I'm sure that they did that because
people like us.
Yeah.
Who say there's not much difference between the two?
There's not much difference. You know, I'm sure it was cheaper, right?
Yeah.
You didn't have to redraw stuff.
That's true.
And then the figures, look, if you look at those figures for the toys, they're all the same mold. It's just a different head and some different hands. Anyways.
Number three is Man at Arms.
Oh, absolutely.
His real name is Duncan.
Duncan. I know that. Yep.
Duncan the Mustache.
Man at Arms is a great character. Highly underrated, I think. But in some of the newer stuff, he's actually in the Revelation. He's much cooler. He's a real BA. He's actually a weapons expert.
Good.
And martial arts, and yeah, he's a fighter.
Number two is Skeletor.
One of the greatest villains ever, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think he's up there with Megatron.
Absolutely.
Mum-Ra. Those guys could have like a power.
Wouldn't that be a cool... Yeah. I've seen the shirts where it's the 80 villain shirts and it's Megatron, Mum-Ra, Cobra Commander, Skeletor, and Venger from Dungeons & Dragons. Yeah. It's all those together. It's like, that is an awesome shirt. Skeletor's just great. He's got some of the best one-liners, because it's, again, it's so goofy. He should be... Again, if they wanted to go darker, which they have in some of the others, you know, he could be so menacing.
Yeah.
But, you know, you bumbling boob. You know, it's just great.
It's funny because, like, sometimes people refer to really skinny people as Skeletor.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's wrong.
Yeah.
Skeletor is the buff, dude.
Skeletor was
ripped. He has a skeleton for a face.
Yeah.
I think that's where you're confused, but...
Yeah.
But people go, okay, Skeletor needs a sandwich. I'm like, but Skeletor doesn't need a sandwich.
He needs a face.
He needs a human face.
He needs skin. Skeletor doesn't need to eat a sandwich. You should call them Jack Skellington, right?
Oh, yeah,
if they're really skinny.
The number one, of course, is He-Man.
Is He-Man. I mean, it's kind of hard to argue with that, right? Now, do they classify it He-Man / Prince Adam?
This just says He-Man.
Wow, so Prince Adam doesn't make the top 10?
No.
Nor does King Randor?
Nope.
Now, okay, so now, with that, so here's the problem, though. In the animated series, those are the people that get the most...
True, the screen time.
Screen time. Although, you know, it's interesting, the Sorceress isn't in there.
Yeah.
I would almost take Merman out.
Well, definitely
Orko. No. Take Orko out and put Sorceress in. But... If Orko has to be in there because he's Orko, then I guess take Merman out. But the Sorceress should be in the top 10. But all the other ones, you don't get to see him as much. Although Ram Man, wouldn't you say Ram Man probably gets the most screen time of all the secondary characters?
He deserves to be on that list.
I think Ram Man's a good one. But yeah, that's not a bad list.
No, I'm actually digging into this Wheeljack's lab. Wheeljack, if you're not familiar, Wheeljack is a Transformers character, and he's like the scientist, you'd say? He's like a scientist?
Yeah.
So, this person's vintage toy blog, collectibles.
Interesting. I'll have to give them a look. Yeah. Are they on YouTube, or...?
I don't know, it's just a blog so far.
Oh, okay.
But there's like a vintage toy shop, you can like...
Nice.
Looks like there's actually like...
Wheeljack's lab, okay. Yeah,
I'll send it to you, hold on a sec.
Sweet. Very cool.
Yeah, so, but the thing with He-Man is there's just so many characters.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
They just have very specific. You don't get to see them all the time. So, yeah. I mean, so the top 10, yeah. Okay. Now, I want to point out.
Yeah.
Sharon would probably get mad at me if I don't mention this. One of the funniest things from the cartoon, the original cartoon series. And I don't know if we've ever talked about this or not, is one of the episodes, the ground starts shaking and breaking apart and whatnot. And do you know what they say is happening?
No.
Oh my gosh, it's an earthquake. How do they know it's an earthquake when they're on Eternia? It wouldn't be an earthquake.
Right. It would be an Eternia quake or something.
It would be an Eternia quake.
Oh no.
We bring that up all the time with each other. It is just absolutely hilarious. And we'll find that episode and we'll play it and watch it. And it's just like, oh, that is just... I mean, and look, again, it's just a goofy little kid's show.
Right.
No one's going to say anything. It wasn't until we were older. It's like, well, why would they say that's an earthquake? Wait a minute. That doesn't make any sense. But, yeah. Oh, goodness. Well, I don't think I have anything else for He-Man. That was just...
I have a question for you.
Please.
How many He-Man figures do you think you've had in your lifetime?
Ooh! Oh. Oh. I mean, over there we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Are we counting the animals as figures too?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And there, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4. So there's probably 30, 25 Ooh. To 30 in there. So.
But this is counting your childhood too.
Exactly. So, oh my gosh, because I had a lot more. Because I had practically every figure you could have.
Yeah.
You know, because they were cheap. You know, it was like, I think they were like $2 or $3.
Did you have more Transformers or more He-Man?
Oh, man. Oh, my gosh. I think I had more He-Man. Because they were smaller and cheaper and they came out first.
Yeah.
But I had a bunch of Transformers, too.
Well, I remember you telling me Transformers were, like, kind of special occasion. Cause
they were
so
special occasion. They were, like, Christmas and birthday. I didn't get just a Transformer every time I went to the store, you know. That was more like G.I. Joe. I had a ton of G.I. Joe figures, too. But He-Man, you know, they were smaller and less expensive, you know. But that's what was great with when Transformers introduced the minifigures.
Yeah.
You know, like Cliffjumper and Bumblebee, and they were all those other ones like, what was it? Overhaul. Oh, that wasn't his name. Oh, shoot. But they were all the smaller trucks and cars and stuff. Kind of like those ones up there. And so those were a little bit more, you know, doable.
Right.
Yeah, I definitely had more He-Man. I said He-Man and G.I. Joe probably rivaled each other. G.I. Joe probably had the most of. Because I'm pretty sure those things at one point were just like 99 cents or maybe $1.99 each.
Now, my other question to you.
Yes.
Was there a He-Man figure that you always wanted that you never got?
Well, I did end up eventually getting him, and that was Scareglow.
Scareglow, okay.
Yeah, I never had a Scareglow. Weldy gave me that one. And then the Anti-Eternia He-Man. Have you ever seen that? He's back there.
Oh, I know the packaging, but I've
never looked at it. But no, you know what? I've got a better answer for that. So, I had a friend. I know it's hard to believe, but I had a friend, his name was Matthew Rogers, and he lived on Main Street in Ada, and he had the Mecha of He-Man, because I had a bunch of figures, and he had a bunch of figures, but he also had all the vehicles, too, so I didn't have a ton of vehicles. I had Panthor, I had Battle Cat, and I think I had one of the things that Man-at-Arms would drive.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I had one of the evil ships. And that was it. But Matthew had, he had like the spider thing.
Oh, yeah.
He had both castles. He had Castle Grayskull and Snake Mountain. He had every accessory. I didn't get any of those. I never had Castle Grayskull, and I never had Snake Mountain. And so those would probably be the two things I would say. I always wanted one of those. And now it's kind of like they're so expensive when you go to toy shows. And if it's reasonably priced, then it's usually missing a ton of stuff.
Right.
But like Snake Mountain had the microphone, so you could sit there and, just talk. So we'd imitate Skeletor in the microphone. So, yeah, I'd say probably the castles. But a straight-up figure, I would say the Scareglow. But yeah, then Weldy, he had a couple of them, so I ended up with one of them.
Yeah.
But yeah. Did you ever have any He-Man figures or anything?
I never
did.
I never collected them. I have like Battle He-Man and Battle Skeletor. They came with a bunch of accessories.
Yeah.
But that was like a newer line, so I never really collected them.
Sure.
I was more into Transformers as a kid, and still am, so I focus more on Transformers.
Yeah. Transformers are cooler because they transform.
They transform.
And look, Transformers are just better than He-Man altogether. I love He-Man, and it was a big part of my childhood, but Transformers were just, that was a game changer.
Yeah. We got a Transformer, you got a car and a robot.
Yeah.
Or an animal and a robot.
Or, yeah. Or a planet eater and a robot. Or a gun and a robot. Or, I mean, it was just wild. Now, I will say, because I had so many of each of them, there were some wild crossovers that happened in my playtime.
Yeah.
You know, you'd have He-Man and Joes and Transformers.
So you were the first IDW.
I was the first IDW. Wow. Yeah. Oh, boy. There would be all kinds of crossovers happening. And then once the mass vehicles started showing up in my, they'd get in there and, I'd have mass battles. Because it was wild because with G.I. Joe, I had more of those vehicles than I did He-Man.
Yeah.
And I had the Tomahawk helicopter. And then I had like this base that you could put actually in water. It was just it was like an ocean base. But I had all kinds. So, they would take turns being on each other's side. And it was pretty wild.
Wow.
It was good times.
Good time to be alive, yeah.
It was a good time to be alive. It was, you know, I look at the toys of today, and look, this may just be a old man talking. I don't know. It just doesn't seem the same. And maybe that's just because I'm not immersed in it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there was just so much coming out.
Yeah.
But again, it was right when they were allowed to start really hyper fixating on us.
Yeah. Well, and I think toys now are more, a lot of the time, they're more about collecting.
I would agree with
because
that.
Because the people who buy toys are older now.
Yeah.
Or like, I mean, kids still buy toys, don't get me wrong, but a lot of the high end toys kids can't afford.
Yeah.
So a lot of these, like, He-Mans that are going for a lot of money, who's going to buy those?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so.
But yeah. So I don't know. Plus, the Transformers these days aren't as cool.
No.
They're harder to transform.
They are.
I don't get that. Now, I will say the He-Man figures, though, like the ones that Wyatt got for me last Christmas, those are awesome.
Those are awesome. Those are more muscular than I've ever seen.
Yeah. But, you know, they're a little bit taller. They actually look human, where, you've got these short little stubby
ones. Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't think about that. The original He-Mans are kind of squat.
They are. But isn't it cool that they have started releasing lines of characters from different franchises to look like them. They did the Thundercats like that. They did all the horror movie monsters
like
that.
They've done WWE like that too.
Yep, the WWE. They did the DC characters like that. They did some of those like Batman and Superman and
they've definitely got a distinctive look. And
they do have a distinct, and they're cool. Yeah. You know exactly what they are. But there wasn't a lot you could do with them. It's not like they could, you know, their arms aren't moving around. So you basically just bashed them together.
Right.
So they never stood a chance against the Transformers, I can tell you that. G.I. Joe's kind of struggled against the He-Man forces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they were smaller.
They were smaller. Mask, they didn't stand a chance either, you know. But thankfully, they were in cars and vehicles that could get away.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. Man, Matt Rogers, I can't believe. Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question. That made me think of that. Yeah, his He-Man stuff was awesome. Matt, if you're out there in the world, I hope you're doing well, my friend.
Or if you're an Eternia.
If you are an Eternia.
If you've pulled a reverse He-Man movie and gone to Eternia.
Oh, there we go. Gone to Eternia.
With Courtney Cox.
With Courtney Cox, yes. Oh, my gosh. And that dwarf thing, whatever it was. Oh, my God. That movie was so bad.
The worst part was they left it off like there was going to be another one.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yes.
I'll be back.
He-Man. Oh, Lord. All right. What else you got, man? Anything?
That's about it for me.
Yeah, all He-Man'd out?
Yeah.
Spent?
I've spent my power sword energy.
Awesome. Well, hey, if any of you guys are He-Man fans, like yours truly, after you hear this, I'd love to hear who your favorite action figure was growing up, or character, or, you know, what you think of the movie, or potential for another live action, any of that. You can hit us up on Instagram or Facebook. All right, we appreciate it always, guys. And remember, stay nerdy.